Well, good morning. Good to see you. I'm Brian. Well, thank you. That'll help. Appreciate it. On behalf of Dr. Stephen Rummage, our Executive Director, Treasurer of the Florida Baptist Convention, we appreciate your partnership. We're almost 3,000 churches throughout Florida, and it's great to be able to work together across the West region. I get to cover the 13 counties, 10 associations here in the Panhandle. I always say West is the best. And so we're born, Candace and I, we're both born and raised in Pensacola. We live over in Pace, and so been in ministry for 30 years, all in this area. But I'll just say this, just piggybacking on what you just said, it is blessed in Florida. It is leading the way across the Southern Baptist Convention. It's slowly trickling out. We actually passed over 30,000 baptisms in 2024, setting a record, actually, and we're leading the Southern Baptist Convention. And so it's exciting to see, even just over 2,000 just across the West region, and it's encouraging. We appreciate Pastor David and just a great team, from local missions here to international missions and what God is doing. We're better together, and it's our privilege to be able to come right beside you every step of the way. If you have your Bibles, if you would open them up or power them up to Proverbs chapter 3 will be our focus this morning, and let me encourage you to do that. We do appreciate your partnership. I would encourage you, as you go across around the world, it is a mission field, but locally it's a mission field as well. We have 1.2 million people that live here in the West region. Well over half, 60% actually, are standing outside the grace of Jesus Christ, yet to profess their faith in Jesus. And so that is hundreds of thousands of people here in your own home area that need Jesus. On a regular basis, I've gotten calls from folks all around the country, say, hey, can we come to the Panhandle on a mission trip? So I just want you to think about that just for a moment. Folks and churches, just as y'all went to Africa and other places, you go to other places in the country. There's churches and groups across the country that view our area as a mission field. And we just happen to live here. And so let's make sure that we also think and live like a missionary as well. And that's what God's called us to do. Again, if you have your Bibles, Proverbs 3, I would ask, would you mind and stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? I know you're getting comfortable right there, but if you would, stand in the honor of reading of God's Word. This is the Word of the Lord beginning in Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace it will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a time to sing, to give, to fellowship. And now as we come here at the beginning of this new week, we ask your blessing, Lord, just to penetrate into our hearts. We don't want anything superficial or going through the motions. Lord, our desire is to look more like you when we leave than when we showed up. And I do thank you for this opportunity for me to be your microphone for the moment. If I were to stray one syllable, remove me immediately, as we are gathered only to hear from you and you alone. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. I appreciate it so much. My father, several years ago, he told my sister and me, practice the 33. Well, those were the words that first said to my older sister before she wanted the keys to the car to go out. And he said to me before getting the keys, practice the 33. Wait 30 seconds before the traffic passes, or you got to wait 3 hours for the police to come and clean up all the mess you just made. And so practice the 33. Those are great words from my father to pass off to my sister and myself, and I pass them off to my kids. My daughter's 20 and my son's 18, and so when they hit 15 into 16, I told them, practice the 33. It was a word that I had got from my father to me, and I passed them on to my kids. Perhaps you have phrases, slogans, words that your parents passed on to you, you held on to and practiced, and now you've passed them on to your kids as it goes in the years to come. But that phrase, that words, my son, that's the reflection that we have here in this passage, passing the words off from a father to a son on to the next generation. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, those words are repeated time and again, all throughout the very beginning of Proverbs. 15 times that phrase, my son, is repeated. My son, listen to this. My son, do this. My son, walk this way. Now, whether Solomon, who's the author of this, was writing to his biological children or on to his rabbinical students, really the framework is the same. Listen up, because what I'm about to say, I want you to hold on to. I don't want you to just go in one ear and out the other. Any parents have ever seen their kids do that one? But what I want you to do, I want you to hold on to them. I want you to never let them go. In good Southern translation, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. So hold on to them. And that's what Solomon is encouraging right here. But it is that phrase in verses 3 and 4 that I really want us to anchor down today of my son. That's where I want us to draw our attention. Now, there's three principles from these verses. I encourage you to get down them on paper, get down in your heart, make application as we move forward. And what I am calling the pass-through principle. That's what we're moving this morning is from this passage, the pass-through principles. I'm going to unpack them. We're going to sing together. We're going to stand and give you an opportunity to respond to God's word in just a moment. Here's the three principles. I'm going to give them to you, and then we'll come back and walk through together. Number one, the supplies you must pack. Number two, the security you must ensure. And number three, the success that you will see. Those are the three. We're going to work through them. So first of all, the supplies that you must pack. Let's come back to verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Those are the two anchors we're going to look at. Two supplies that Solomon is saying as you're about to go throughout the rest of your life when you're packing stuff for your journey. You packed a whole bunch when you're going to Africa. Candace and I were in Zambia last July. We packed a whole bunch for the trip for 10 days. But as you're about to travel through life, here's the two things I want you to pack for your trip. Steadfast love and faithfulness. The steadfast love, that great Hebrew word is hesed. It means goodness, mercy, loyalty, kindness. The other word is faithfulness. Now I'll probably screw up the Hebrew out there. Vehement, it means truth over the long run. So you got two words as it comes for steadfast love and faithfulness. One that unpacks the goodness, the mercy, the moving kindness. And the other is that truth, faithfulness, truth over the long run. Now, steadfast love and faithfulness, these two, these are qualities that in today's culture, they seem to slip through the fingers of our culture. Steadfastness, we often live in a culture that can be disappointing. People just fall down on their responsibilities. But these two here, God upholds them and he says, of all that you pack in life, hold on to these two, steadfast love and faithfulness. And in Proverbs 3, Solomon urges the consistent display of these character throughout his son's life. He's gotten them into his life, and the message is now passed on to our life. When old man Israel, formerly Jacob, when he was about to die, he gathered his family around in Genesis 47. He gathered his family close. So I want you to notice, here's what it says. If I have found favor in your sight, place now your hand under my thigh, which means to swear, deal with me, there you go, in kindness and faithfulness. These two words, again, that all of us are to pack into our life, they really communicate the internal character in each of us that we're to demonstrate with a solidarity in a relationship. These qualities aren't found too often in today's relationships. So many of today's relationships, somebody texts you the wrong emoji. Well, I'm going to cancel them, unfriend them, unfollow them. There's current apps out there that detect toxic conversations to help you cancel relationships in your life. There's apps out there to help you. Because it's almost, there's two spheres. Either you're going to be with people who 100% agree with you emotionally, keep them. Everybody else is toxic. Get rid of them. It's two camps. And so the notion of steadfastness, faithfulness, it doesn't seem often to jive within the strides of our day. But rather, it's harshness, fickleness almost seems to dominate our relationships. But that's the culture of today. But the story of Christianity, oh, it's different. The story of Christianity is not like today's culture that says, just cancel people if you don't care for them. No, the relationship here, the story of Christianity is different. It says, as you're heading out the door, be sure to pack steadfast love, mercy, and faithfulness. Several times this is displayed all throughout Scripture. For instance, in Proverbs 16, here's what 16:6 says, by loving kindness and truth, there's the two again, iniquity is atoned for. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. In Hosea 4:1, God is bringing judgment there upon Israel. And he's bringing judgment because these two qualities were absent from their life. Here's what it actually says in Hosea 4. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has caused a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness and kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Genesis 24, it's another example. Isaac, he points to the qualities of God's character when he meets Rebecca. He's been looking for a wife. And God has promised, it's been passed forward through the years through Abraham. I want you to listen to the description. Here's what it says in Genesis 24. Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who was not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to my house of my master's brothers. You can imagine he's been waiting for a wife for a long time, and finally there's the connection made, and here he sees Rebecca coming. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and mercy. May 19th, 2001, I had the same thing as she opened the doors and there comes Candace. Thank you, Lord. Of course, we dated for long enough since high school. And every wise husband knows the same thing. You married above your pay grade. You can say amen at that point. But we know at this point, this is the blessing, it's these two qualities that has to be in our life. So I just say to Sunrise City Church, as you're trying to pack for the journey, what's next for our church? What's next for our church? What's the next decisions for our church? How do we navigate the decisions that are before us? Two qualities to pack for your life, steadfast love and faithfulness. He's given you what you didn't deserve. God has sustained you when you were weak. He has loved you when you were unlovable. I wonder, even this past week, has anybody received the steadfast love and faithfulness of God into your life? Amen. All of us have. All of us can look back to this. I remember when God displayed steadfast love and faithfulness to me. And what Solomon here, he's telling his son, he's these qualities that God's displayed to me, I want to display to you, and I want you to pass it on. It's the pass-through principle. God gave to me, I'm going to give to you. God forgave me, we have to forgive others. God was patient with me, I'm going to go and be patient with others. God loved me, I'm going to love my neighbor. God loved with steadfast love and faithfulness toward us, we're going to pass it through to other people. It's the pass-through principle. And so, church, as you travel through the next season of your week, through the next season of your church, you navigate the warp and woof of your week, pack steadfast love and faithfulness. Why? Number two, if you do this, there's the security you must ensure. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Two other key words, let not forsake you. There's agency here, meaning you have control over what you do with steadfast love and faithfulness. It's so easy for us to blame circumstances or other people. Oh, they did this, and therefore that's a great reason for me not to display steadfast love and faithfulness. But the fact they were saying, let not, that means you have control as to what you're going to do with the love and faithfulness that God has afforded into your life. Don't permit it to leave you. I want you to imagine that these two qualities, they're like ropes that are tied to your life. They're just tied all up in a knot, and you're holding on to them tightly. And what Solomon is describing here is when the pressures of life come, what I don't want you to do is loosen the ropes just to let them go. Y'all are here among the riverways. I've grown up among the riverways as well. You got the boat that's anchored there. What happens when you unloosen the knot? There goes the boat. What he's saying here is let not, for these two qualities, steadfast love and faithfulness, don't loosen the knot for them to go on. But rather, keep them tied together. Because, friends, I would say this, there is going to be situations and relationships that come to you. There's going to be frustrations that form before you that is going to be very justifiable, that even the world will come and say, that person, just cut them loose. That marriage, that friend, that coworker, I know that just ticks you off. That frustrating family member, just loosen the rope. Let them go. Oh, but Solomon's saying here, I know the world says that, but you've packed into your life steadfast love and faithfulness. And so when people are cruel to you and wear you down, you don't feel like showing steadfast love and faithfulness, keep them. When relationships, they weigh heavy on you, when other times when relationships are strained, caring for others is difficult, decisions are just, they're frustrating. You think you're carrying your own burden plus the foolishness of other people. Like, what am I? I'm just going to cut them loose. God says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to keep the knot tight. Using the imagery here, I want you to literally like chisel to stone, engrave these two principles onto your heart. Let this be what really strives in every single thing you do. Don't abandon kindness and truth. Do not forsake steadfast love and faithfulness. Instead, bind them like a necklace. Chisel them like to stone. And I'm going to say this, as church, y'all, I know y'all planted several years ago. You've moved here and adjusted this. And I'll say in church after church, when there's challenges and frustrations, natural planting challenges that come, but then you get anchored in a place and there's this move, we got this need. And well, it's very easy in the relationships of a church. Yeah, the organization of church, but the relationships of a church, we can get frustrated at each other. And it's very easy for us to say, no, we're just going to turn you loose. But here's what y'all have done as a church, as y'all are taking steps forward. Y'all have chosen to commit to each other in steadfast love and faithfulness. And let me just say thank you for doing that. Pastor David, we've talked on that. And you've just been faithful, faithful, faithful. I'm just saying, keep it up. God's going to continue to bless you because no matter what comes, you need to always be ready to use steadfast love and faithfulness in whatever comes. My son, like I mentioned, he's 18, but when he turned 15, we had a rite of ceremony passage for him. We did this for my daughter when she hit the same age, but just that transition for her, for being a girl, we had a ceremony for her, a time just going into womanhood. And my son, when he turned 15, we had a time special for him. Just say, hey, we're no longer going to look at you as a boy. We're going to treat you from this day forward as a man. Still growing into maturity, but as a man. Well, we give him different stuff, took him out and all, but one of the things at that point, my dad gave him a pocket knife. Now, what was key about this is that my dad always has a pocket knife with him. The joke in our family is, if my dad has his pants on, he has a pocket knife with him. And so he gave my son a pocket knife. And now, about almost the same time, except when he's at school, Elijah has a pocket knife with him. That's the way God desires. Just one, that type of example like my grandfather, like his grandfather, my dad has. But to always be at the ready with pocket knife, always be at the ready. You never know when you need it. Steadfast love and faithfulness. You never know what's going to come in the days ahead. But let me say this, the last part here. One, the supplies you must pack. Number two, the security you must ensure. And then number three, the success that you will see. Notice what the text here says. It says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. The word construction here into the original language, here's how it reads. You will win favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Solomon is telling his son, if you pack these two qualities into your life, if you don't let them go, don't forsake them, don't untie the knot, if you continually to practice them, because the world's not, but if you practice them, the world's going to rise up and take notice of a wise leader right there. Somebody's different from the rest of society. That's what Solomon is passing down. About a year ago, I did a funeral for a man who was a beloved deacon in the church when I pastored in Milton. I saw his widow just yesterday at an event we were at. But his name was Bill Wallace. Bill drove the church bus from 1972 to 2020, every week. Saturdays, he would go out visiting the children and the families in the neighborhood. Sunday mornings, he would come and he would pick up children on the church bus. For all of those years, most people know that was Brother Bill's church. And I was fine. At one point, when he was sick for 1 week, somebody contacted me. Did y'all close the church? No, he's just sick. For Brother Bill, on numerous occasions, besides coming and picking up the kids, he led tens of thousands of children to faith in Christ. He paid the bills of more families across Milton than I know. He brought food, paid rent for thousands and thousands. And y'all know the song, we played it at his funeral by Mark Bolts, the Thank You for Giving to the Lord. That literally could have been the life theme song of him. But Bill was known for his wisdom. You have a meeting, everybody's like, what does Bill think? One of the most humble, godly men you ever meet. I always wanted to cherish this. Why? His life demonstrated steadfast love and faithfulness that produced itself in wisdom that the rest of the community stood up and took notice of for decades. I'm going to say this. You want to make an impact? You want your life to be more than a blip on the radar? Steadfast love and faithfulness. I remember there was a young lady who came when we were there at Ferris Hill. Two things that happened, because I'm going to say you're going to get tested if you do this. If you walk out of here and say, here's what we're going to do. When Candace and I were at Ferris Hill, we had launched a pretty extensive benevolence ministry. Food, clothing, we launched, they're the cold weather shelter for Santa Rosa County. And so we had launched that, I don't know, back 2007, 8, somewhere in there. And so on times, needs would come. And so if somebody needed something, our team would help and team would help. But I never forget, at times I would have to make a decision regarding something, a financial need or some family need, and we try to help, and a team member would come up and say, Brian, this person, do we have to help them? I mean, they're a jerk. We helped them last month. And so I'd go and I'd find out about the situation, and okay, God, we're helping. We try to move our church forward at the speed of prayer, and say, Lord, what do we want to do? And I'm like, God, do we have to help them? Then I heard often just kind of God back to me, because I'm thinking they don't deserve it. They're stubborn. And as if God says, I helped you when you didn't deserve it. Often our offices didn't smell too nice with folks that come through. But I kept hearing God say, you know what? I helped you when your decisions of last week didn't smell too good either. All right, I'll help. There was a girl who came through one time, and I'll never forget, she sat at my office desk. I had a round table in there, and I said, hey, we want to help you. And she knew all the junk that she had put us through. Oh, man, it was a pain. But I said, hey, we want to help you. She says, why? I said, well, let me tell you about my Savior. He's full of mercy, steadfast love, and faithfulness. I went, we helped her financially, but I shared the gospel with her. She came to faith in Christ. She went right out there. She walked into our fellowship hall, and she led her husband to the Christ 30 seconds after she just got saved. But we tested. This is the pass-through principle. God has blessed us with forgiveness. We need to extend forgiveness to others. God's been patient with us. We're patient with others. God's displayed steadfast love and faithfulness to us. Why should we think we're justified to loosen the knot, to let it go, when God hadn't done that for us? If we're followers of Jesus Christ and not just fans, oh, we come and we put them around like a necklace. We chisel them to stone. We let not forsake. We bind them, and that's a success. And I'm saying if you do that, it can help change not just your life, other lives, but it can change a community. One final story. It was in 2008 we had begun to help folks as much as we can, trying to just show steadfast love and faithfulness. And I forget, at this point in Santa Rosa County, there was a discussion, do we open up alcohol sales on to Sundays? At this point, it was closed on Sundays. And I had seen, as we walked through thousands of families, and again, we're about 130, 140-person church, but we had walked thousands of families. We had seen the abuse and tragedies inside people's homes. We had seen what husbands' decisions, and I called it the gated community because I had so much ministry to our local jail because of what decisions people were doing. And what happened, we had just been displaying this time and time again, and we had heard there was a decision. Do we open up it even more? I wrote a letter to our county commissioners just saying, our church has seen the effects of thousands and thousands and thousands of homes and families just because they've walked through. We've spent time in the hospitals. We know the medical costs. We know the actual economic impact. If it increases by 1/7, we know the impact. And so our encouragement is not. Well, I sent it off in the mail, and we went going out of town. I got a call from a buddy of mine that was in that room. He said, oh, Brian, I just want you to know this. The county commissioners of Santa Rosa County read your letter. They changed their entire decision. They shut it down. Just because of what one church chose, steadfast love and faithfulness demonstrated. Now, they came back and did other decisions years later. But we were able to push back. Because if God's people said, we're going to be about steadfast love and faithfulness. And the government said, we're going to take notice. And we're going to change. Well, I would just say this. As recipients of the grace of God, we can't pass on what we don't possess. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever received the steadfast love and faithfulness of God? Personally. Oh, you're here at church. I'm glad you are. But as I often say, just because you spend a lot of time in a garage don't make you a car. Well, I'm really glad you're here, but have you ever personally received the grace of Jesus Christ? See, all of us know this. God has a wonderful plan for our life. He wants, not just concerned about our life here, but our eternal life. He has a wonderful plan, but we have a problem. All of us have fallen short of the perfect standard of God, and only God lets perfection into heaven. You're like, well, that's not fair. Hey, you set the rules for your house. God sets the rules for his house. And so perfection's in. None of us have hit that standard. That's why that's our problem. But God gave the answer of a provision in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived perfectly because we couldn't. He died in our place because we should have. And he offers us grace. And so after his provision, it's up to us to respond. Personally, say, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you. I'm going to trust in you. And here's what happens when we put our faith in him. There's a great exchange that takes place. Legally in the heavenlies, that literally the righteousness of Jesus is transferred to our resume and our guilt and shame is transferred to Jesus Christ and it's nailed to the cross and it's overcome through his resurrection. So that on the day you stand before Jesus, he looks at you through the person and the resume of Jesus Christ and sees you spotless, blameless, and free from accusation, was what Colossians 1 says. Have you ever put your faith in Christ? In a moment, what we're about to do, I'm going to pray, our team about to make their way up even right now. But in a moment, as we pray, we're going to stand and sing, and maybe you have never put your faith in Christ. I'm going to encourage you to come to one of the prayer team members that are here. Your pastor will be here, and you come and say, I've never put my faith in Christ. I've been a fan of Jesus, but not a follower. I'd like to receive personally the steadfast love and faithfulness of Jesus for myself. I'd like to receive that forgiveness. You come and let one of these team members know. Others of you, there's pressures that's happening right now in your life. It might be a relationship, a job, a family, and everything in your being is saying, loosen the knot, loosen the knot. My encouragement to you today, let not steadfast love forsake you. Let these team members just come, use these steps as you want. I say, Lord, would you just pack these into my life? Display what God has given to you, the pass-through principle. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your steadfast love and faithfulness towards us, demonstrated through the power of Jesus Christ, grace upon grace upon grace. Lord, may your followers here be appliers of the pass-through principle and pass off steadfast love and faithfulness to this community that so needs it. Help us not to untie the knot, to let not and forsake. Lord, may we not do that. Help us to chisel it to our hearts. Lord, for those here who need Jesus, Lord, may we just open up our lives to you and your love, even today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand, teams making their way in place. As you need to adjust, move. Hey, prayer is open. Team members or encouragers are here. Let's pack these two things. Let's come. Let's apply them to our life. Let's stand as we're singing. Team's leading.